Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Yeah, but I think we're going to get started here. If there's anybody else coming in, we will, I'll just let them in and then we'll do a quick introduction so everybody knows each other because we have so many new faces here. I know everybody sees the slides. A little bit about me. My name is Chris Raposo. I'm a marketer. I work for a tech company. I'm also a podcast host. I love to travel, storytelling. I like to run, especially with guys like Rafi DeSimone at conferences. And I'm also a father of two. And today's book club, we were talking about the newly awarded Harvey Schute Nonfiction Business and Enterprise First Place Best in Category winner, Organic Social Media, How to Build a Flourishing Online Community. The author today is Jenny Lee Fowler. She's an award-winning social media manager at MIT, award-winning author, sought-after speaker, podcast host, and a trusted voice in higher education. Jenny, once again, welcome. Did I miss anything?
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Chris.
Very good. Very good. Now let's introduce everybody real quick, right? So we know who we're dealing with here. Just real quick, name, role and organization, and briefly background with higher education, within higher education. So I see the grid here, so I'm just going to call out names. So Jasmine, you were the first here. You're the first to come up.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jasmine Hunter. Currently, I am the director of communications in the division of HR at University of South Carolina. I've been in higher ed for about a little over a decade. So just loving it here and great to be here at the Book Hub and supporting a fellow Marcom Barbie, Jenny.
Awesome. Well, it's good to see you again. Aubrey Parrish.
Yes. Hi, my name is Aubrey. I am newer to higher ed, so I've only been at my institution for about 2 years, and I manage social media for admissions and serve on a council that kind of helps shape the main pages as well. So very excited to be here at Great. Another book club for this awesome book.
Awesome. Good to see you. Sarah?
Hi, I'm Sarah Kelzer, and I'm with a company called Cluedo. We do site search and AI chat, but I've been with higher ed at SiteImprove and now at Cluedo for 9 years and excited to chat social media because we could all use help on that.
Absolutely. Good to see you again. Scott Klein.
Hi, everybody. Scott Klein. I'm a higher ed consultant after two decades on the higher ed side. I'm currently hiding in the corner of the ORD airport on my way back to San Francisco. So I'll have to drop off in a few minutes because I don't want to be that person walking out of the plane. But awesome. Good to be here.
Good to see you again. Pablo?
Hi, everyone. My name is Pablo. I'm from Chile. I'm a journalist. And today I'm head of communication at the Office of the Vice President for Research and Development and at the University of Santiago here in Chile. I have been working in higher education for more than 10 years. And today my everyday work is all about promoting what we do at the Vice Presidency and help our researchers get their projects and their discoveries out of the world. And this is my first time in the book club, so I'm very happy for this.
Well, we're really happy to have you. Thank you for joining. Sarah?
Hey, I'm Sarah Louise Shoup. I'm in Ithaca, New York, and I'm the Assistant Director of Enrollment Marketing and Digital Communication at the Brooks School of Public Policy, which is Cornell's newest school. And I do mostly enrollment marketing, and I'm in charge of our social media for the school. But thanks, Jenny, for writing a great book.
Yeah, it is really a good book. Thank you for being here, Sarah. Jeffna?
Hi, I'm Jeffna. I'm in Portland, Oregon, so the other side from Sarah Louise. And this is also my first book club. I'm relatively new to higher ed marketing. I'm currently working as a freelancer, and most recently was at an educational nonprofit. And interestingly, I was really drawn to creating the social media and watching it grow. And we had no ad spend, so I was like, wait, I was doing some of these things. So of course, I wish, Jenny, I had your book, at least a year ago, but here it is now. So I'm so glad. Nice to meet all of you.
Very good. Nice to meet you too. Erin?
Hi everyone, Erin Bartoletti, zooming in from Maine. I recently started working remotely for Dartmouth. I'm the digital communication specialist at the Irving Institute for Energy and Society. I'm coming up on 12 years in higher ed. For the past 11 or so years, I was at the University of Southern Maine and served a few different roles there in PR and marketing. And the last time I was managing social media was about 10 years ago, and a lot has changed since then. So this is a good time to get back into it.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. Yannicka?
Hi everyone. I'm Yannicka Carey. I am currently a freelance copywriter and editor, and I previously worked for about 12 years in higher ed at a couple of different institutions, as a communications director and writer and editor, and social media was part of my job for many, many years also. So the book definitely resonated with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you again. Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Weldon. I'm the coordinator for social media and internal marketing at Rose State College, right outside of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I have been in my current position for about a year, but I've been doing social media for about five.
Love your content, by the way, Caitlin. Always
Thank
great
you.
to see those pictures. Rafi.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Rafi Dursimonian, Vice President, Chief Strategy Officer at ERI, as evidenced by my baseball cap here. I'm reporting live from Portland, Maine. Erin, it's nice to have a fellow Mainer on the call. And I forget who was from, Jeff knows from the other Portland. Let's see. I'm a dad. I've got a 1.5-year-old and almost 4-year-old daughter. And I have experience leading marketing teams in higher ed and leading a growing digital strategy, design, and development firm. And Jenny, I haven't met you yet, but I so enjoyed your book. And I got a copy for our social media person on our team. So already putting your insights into good use.
Yay, love to hear it. Thank you, Rafi. I'm gonna be in Portland. This we can talk later, but yeah.
We love that. That sounds great.
Sweet. Awesome. And last not but least, the Irishman, Tony Sheridan.
Hey folks, I am the Irishman, but I'm calling in from Saudi Arabia, where I work at King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, or better known as KAUST. And I am a big fan of Jenny. I have my book signed in person from Content Ed Conference that I chaired in the UK last year, and Jenny was our opening keynote. And I've been in higher ed 4 years in Saudi, 11 in Ireland, so 15, a decade and a half. And I'm currently the marketing and communications manager, managing a team of eight, but within a department of 60 central comms here at the university in Saudi Arabia.
That's
That's me.
amazing. Got an international group as well as a domestic group from all over the place. So I love it. Love to see that. So let's get right into it, for the book discussion. So we'll keep it informal. Just chime in. Don't wait too long. You don't have to raise your hand if you have something to talk about, but we'll talk about. I have a couple of discussion questions here. What themes, messages stood out to you? How can the 6M framework improve your social media strategy? How have you communicated organic social media values to leadership? Because as the book says, it's not another duty as assigned. And what lessons from the book apply to your work and any surprising or thought-provoking moments? So if anybody has anything that immediately stood out to them that they can't wait to hold back and want to share right away, the floor is yours.
I can jump in. Hi. So I really loved a couple of things that are related. One thing that Jenny mentions in the book is thinking about things maybe quarterly or in whatever way that makes sense for your organization, but planning one quarter ahead. That was a tough one for my department because we are in a state where we're just reacting to things a lot. But doing that and planning for us, it was Q1 at the same time, made Q1 so much easier. And reporting that way to execs, actually, they loved it so much. It was far more digestible for them and helped us understand the value of organic content. So actually today I'm getting a promotion because of it. So I'm really
Oh.
excited.
Oh
So
my gosh. Love to hear it. Yay.
thank you. I'm so excited. But yeah, the when I read this book, it just really clicked. And so reporting to exec has gotten so much easier. So that's just what I
Wow.
wanted to throw out there.
Already making changes and already improving careers, Jenny. How amazing is that?
So amazing. I'm gonna cry. It's amazing. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
I love hearing that. I love hearing that. Yeah. Go ahead, guys. Everybody else, anything like that that stood out right away? You want to share any success stories came out of the book?
Or
I would.
feedback.
No, sorry.
It doesn't always have to be good. If you have feedback for me, please share.
I would like to say that I found it very interesting to read about our responsibility as a team leadership to teach and guide people and our bosses about the best and the professional way to set goals for social media and create good content every day. I usually work with scientific people. They are expert in many fields. I don't know, like the atom, cancer cells, the universe, the water, the energy, and so on. So most of them are like an eminence in scientific fields. So this means that some of them believe that they can, they know about everything, include social media. So sometimes they feel free to say which is the best way to create content and post content in social media because they are very smart people, you know. So it's a little bit frustrating, but I think that consider this situation as an opportunity to teach about social media is a very valuable approach. And connected with this, another powerful message for to me is that content should always prioritize the audience, not internal egos or leadership demands. So this is a very complicated situation that I every it's an everyday is precious for us. So teach people and put our audience in the first place is a very interesting and meaningful knowledge for me.
That's okay. So Chris, is it okay if
Yes,
I
please.
add? Yeah, I feel you, Pablo, because at where I work too, MIT, we're engaging with researchers and scientists and no Nobel Prize winners who feel like they're the expert in everything. And Tony deals with this a lot too over at KAUST, who is also they're also a leading research institution in science and technology and innovation. But the one thing I have realized is that they all respect data. So if you have analytics and data and numbers to show them, if you lead with the data, then they do sort of pause to listen to that and will respect the data. So I encourage you to keep educating, but also to lead with the data.
Yeah, thank you
Absolutely.
very much.
I'm gonna just mention chapter 5 is on content, and this is I'm transitioning role now in the next few months to we've our person over our head of content is leaving, and there's a lovely line where you say like social media being the engine and content being the fuel, which is going down really well for me here because we are a tech university and it's like we work on combustion and engines. And I'm like, I've been been using that one because, again, seeing channels in isolation from the content was something that was happening here due to just silos within the comms team, right? There was people writing articles with very little understanding of the channel that they went on, the style for that channel. And it was just, you know, we had a writer who came from that background. They were a writer. They were writing 1,800 word deep science pieces. And what we've actually done is we've got the people creating the content to draft the social media captions so that they can get closer to the platforms. And then they're just learning simple things like Lent or what got engagement, what didn't. But that bit on content has just been really, really useful for me. And of course, referencing you, Jenny, to back up me is really helpful because it's like, you know, you need an outside expert to back up your point. And so the book is getting a lot of leverage right now in my day to day.
I love to hear that. If I help in any way, please, if it helps to drop my name, please do. And I love that idea, Tony, because if you have the authors write social media posts, then they have like a little bit of ownership and probably more interest in that post as well, in how it does, and will follow up with you. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's super simple. Just in the doc, we just created like an extra box in the table, and it was just like, you got the headline, and then it was just like, look, you know the content. But, you know, one of the criticisms was like the social team wasn't getting the key message of the article. It's like, okay, well, draw that out. Give us that. We might refine it for language and tone of voice and brand voice and platform, but give it the first draft, right, to bring those two teams closer together. So, yeah, it's been working okay so far.
That's a great idea.
I have a lesson that I'm applying from the book. I've been in higher ed now, this is my 15th year, and it seems like each job I have, there's never like a manual or notes from the person before me, or I'm in like a new type of job. But when I was looking at the content calendar chapter seven, it was a good reminder for me in Asana, where we have our content calendar for our school, not to just use CanJam and move things across, like if it's processed, if it's been published and what's the analytics, but to also put down what we did post that week in some sort of one card. So then the next year, if it's me or the person who gets my job next year, they have notes about what was up there and what worked and what didn't, instead of reinventing the wheel, which seems to happen, I don't know, a lot in higher ed because we have a lot of movement in staff.
Totally. I relate so much to that. I love that.
I'll chime in quickly. One of the, I should say two of the things that I really appreciated about this read was the simplicity in the 6M framework. And I felt like that provided a really clear and easy to comprehend framework to talk about a relatively complex subject. So kudos to you for coining that. And I thought that provided some great structure. The other thing that stood out to me was how you humanized social media. And while it's inherently, social is in the term, there is something kind of impersonal about social media. I love how you tied in mental health and the importance of how social media impacts mental health. When I read the table of contents and I saw that, I was interested in how you were going to tie it in. And I thought you did so really wonderfully. And I just would recommend this book to anyone who is trying to think about ways to grow their social media presence. And we haven't even really gotten started with applying some of these, but I am excited to take some of these nuggets and try to elevate our own online social media presence as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I think sometimes it's really hard to grow following, but those are, I feel like, the most fun stages, when you can, you know, like see the growth, like it, you start from new and see what works. And, you know, I always think that's the most exciting time. And that, thank you so much for that feedback. That means, that really, really means a lot to me. I think, you know, I sort of explore, like dove into writing, like as we were exiting, you know, the pandemic, toward the latter years. And it was so top of mind. And so I felt like I just couldn't ignore it. So I thank you. I just thank you for sharing that.
Go, Janika. Okay. What really resonated with me a lot was chapter 4 and how you talk about, you know, why do we need to be on this channel? I think that's something that a lot of social media managers get is, you know, we need to get on this channel because it's new and everybody's on it, and to really stop and think about why. And to go through all of these steps, like, do we even have the resources? Do we have the content? Is our audience even there? And to really dig into who is our audience and to really get back to some of these basics. And there were a lot of things. I think I marked that chapter the most. And I really liked how you're advocating for resources. And, you know, this is what one person's not enough. This is what a social media team should really look like, which I really liked. I mean, when I worked in higher ed, it was back when I was managing social media, it was like my fifth responsibility was social media. Mm-hmm. And I was the first person to say, okay, we're not going to hire another writer. This is going to be a social media manager. And that was the first designated social media person on our team. And I think there's still only one after I left. And I don't think there's ever going to be more than one, but it's right. Ideally, it should be an entire team. So I really liked how in that chapter you're advocating for more resources, but also, you know, how you talk about managing up and really pushing back gently, not saying no, but saying, you know, let me think about it. And back, which was always something that was kind of hard for me to do. I'm German. It's hard to be diplomatic and be more American. And, you know, so those are some really good pointers. This would have been a really good book for me to have several years ago. So I appreciated that a lot.
I appreciate that. And yeah, you know, but you know, social media is my profession, but I'm always the first person to say, like, social media may not be the answer for you, because people always think it's like the solution, like, oh, we need an Instagram account. And I'm like, but for what? Like, so yeah, thank you. Thank you, Janneke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Janneke, I mispronounced your name. I'm so sorry. But one of the lessons that I'm learning, definitely, I've only been in this role for about 6 months, and social media is, of course, one of my responsibilities, and it's just me. I'm on an island of one, doing a lot of different roles and a lot of different hats. And I had to kind of come in, and we were on a lot of different platforms, and I kind of had to just say, hey, why are we on this platform? I think everybody's kind of just said it. And I had to really look at the data. Luckily, we were able to get Sprout Social. I advocated for us to kind of get a platform. Our central communications department was bringing it on, and I was like, thank goodness I have some data to look back at it to say, hey, you know, our platforms are performing this way, and, you know, you have these kind of posts and they're not performing great, so let's do away with these posts. And they kind of wanted to fight me on it a little bit and say, oh, well, I really like doing these posts. And I'm like, well, these posts aren't getting any kind of engagement, so why do it? So I really loved when you talked about data informed creativity and just being able to kind of look at the numbers and being able to show, like, we really need to now look at the likes and the follower accounts, but also how these posts performing, you know, don't just post just to post. They have to have some kind of stories, some kind of something to tell us to tell what's going on. You need to really look at your audience and what do you want to talk to them about? What do you want to tell them? What do they need to know? And that's one thing that I've been really pushing with my department is really, if we're going to have social media, if we're going to have these platforms and these accounts, we really need to kind of go back to base one and really kind of see what we want to tell them and go from there. But then also just letting them know, like, I'm a subject matter expert. I've been doing social media for a while. Let me, create the content calendar. Let me show you what I can do. And then we can kind of go from there. And if you want to put some input, then we'll listen and, really see what how we can move forward and make sure that our followers and our audience hears what we have to say.
Yes, I mean, Jasmine, 6 months in, sounds like you're doing all of the right things. And I would say, like, this is really an opportunity for you to, like, take the reins and take control. So I applaud what you're doing. And remember, I mean, you can set the precedent at this point. Like, you can sort of, you can drive change. And so that's exciting. Sounds like you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I love how empowering this book was actually for social media managers. I'm a solo marketer at my company, and so social media is kind of like an aside job, right? It's like, okay, we'll just cross share, right? Cross share this stuff. Like if I have a blog post or an article, we'll just put it on social media or LinkedIn for that matter. LinkedIn is where our target audience is mostly, where we get the most engagement. But when I inherited the marketing department, we also have a Facebook account. We have a Instagram account, but we get zero engagement on Instagram. But it's kind of like you go through the motions, right? You're like, well, it was there. Do you have permission to just cut it off? Because, it's kind of a waste of time. Nobody's engaging with it. Our target audience is not really hanging out on Instagram to consume the kind of content that we're putting out. And internally, people are more camera shy. They wouldn't want to stand there and do a reel, for example, right? Subject matter expert. So it's not going to work the way it's supposed to work. Or it didn't want to be photographed. So we'll just do, thought leadership content on LinkedIn, and then I'll put it over on Facebook as well, which I don't get engagement there as well. So I could potentially theoretically cut all these channels and only have LinkedIn because that is the bread and butter on so for our social media activities there. But when it comes to these platforms and when you have to figure out where you're wanting to go and where you want to put your time and resources. When Threads came out a couple of years ago, remember, like everybody was like, holy cow, Threads, man, everybody get yourself a Threads account. And I did the same thing. And then after 3 weeks, I was like, why did I get a Threads account? I think I just got the account to secure the handle for our name, right? And that was basically it. It's just sitting there. It's nothing going on with it. I haven't been on there for months. But it's one of those things that I thought how empowering this book was. And when it comes to goal setting as well, Jasmine said that she's the expert. She's a subject matter expert in that particular department, right? And then I love what you said at page 20, 24, as a social media managers, we need to be intentional about setting our own goals and KPIs and don't wait for somebody to tell you what to do or what not to do. And remember that the organization's goals should be the social media goals as well. And don't be afraid to take initiative and set those social media goals. So that was, I guess, was kind of like a rally cry for somebody who's always been sitting in the background, kind of like an order taker waiting for somebody to give them something to do or post something, right? Instead, take the initiatives. And then the stuff like, who said it? Who got a promotion here? Aubrey, was it? Yeah, see, because you took the initiative, right? Like you showed the leadership ability, and then good things will follow from that if you take that. So I thought that was really good that you outlined that in the book and you gave people permission to go out there and just do it.
And to stop doing things, right? I have to say, like, sitting here, like, listening to y'all, like, read my words is very, it's like very humbling. And also I'm like, that's, I believe that. Like, we should be doing that. So this is a very this is a very humbling experience. But I'm so glad it's been resonating. But yes, also, like, I think we should, if a platform is not working, we should stop doing it. You know, Chris, I know that you said that, you know, everyone got excited about Threads, but I've been doing this a while. And like, can I tell you, people got excited about Snapchat. Then everybody got excited about, you know, TikTok. Then everybody got excited about Clubhouse. Do you remember Clubhouse? Or like, then, you know, and then there was like Twitter chats, you know, anyhow, like it, you just, that's why I think I've been through that cycle so many times. You know, I've learned that just to wait, you don't like, you know, you don't have to be the first one. I think I wrote this, but you know, no one has said, oh, are you following so-and-so because they were the first one. People only say, are you following so-and-so because they're so good, you know? So like, you don't have to be the first one, but you know, be one of the best ones, right? And then people will follow you. So yeah.
Exactly.
Jenny, I have to say, I just love that message that comes through about the patience piece and just waiting and being, I suppose it goes back to like being strategic. Like it's, there's a, you know, that quality of social media that is so like now and first and, you know, sort of the breaking news idea. And I just love this. It's smarter, you know, work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just thank you. That's an overall message. Like take a breath and try to do the things that really actually matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so, I have found that, you know, social media is so reactive that just it's sort of a superpower to just pause for a second and just say, just, you know, ask yourself, right? Tony, in the chat, you said, for what? Like, for what? Like, why would we do this? Or if there's a meme, you know, just to pause for a second and say, like, why would we do, you know, are we trying to shoehorn this meme? Or does it really like work with our brand or our, you know, our culture? Like, I think just sort of taking a breath is, in my opinion, you know, a superpower, and will go a long way if you want longevity, right, in this career.
Yeah.
I have a question. If you could expand a little bit about something that's in the book. So I am in a meeting with a lot of stakeholders and people who run different accounts, like athletics, alumni, main account, whatever. And I'm finding that a lot of them are talking about the ideas and getting excited, clapping for each other. Love that, but not so much the data. So I think it's fine that they don't report their data for their accounts in that meeting. That might not be the place or time, but I found that they're not doing that internally. And I want to encourage them to start doing that because I think that would really improve their content. But I also feel like it's not my place, being not in the central marketing team, to tell them what to do. So do you have any advice for that situation?
So you're not in central comms, you're in another.
Correct. I'm in admissions.
Okay.
In our structure, admissions and central marketing are like this because.
Of course. Yeah.
Enrollment goals, things like that. But yeah.
And they don't. And I mean, could you ask them? Do you think that you would?
Like, I have.
Oh, and that hasn't worked. Okay. So there's this is easy, might be easier for me because I'm in the central comms team, but what I have found is I have a social media working group that it's like a community of practice. Like all of the members are social media managers or someone there. And I do a presentation every January and I show our best performing posts on the flagship channels and our worst performing posts on the flagship. And I tell them what I learned. Like if there's something that performed really well, that surprised me, I'll say, I never expected this. Or, you know, I'll say something like, oh, our audience is changing because this would have never done well before. But sometimes you see so much from I learn more from the things I don't do well. Like there's a repeat pattern. Like we've noticed that, you know, certain types of videos don't do well in reels. And so, or, you know, we were trying to promote, you know, do snippets of a podcast in reel, like reels, but they weren't really a true reel. It was more like an audio and they weren't doing well. So we totally changed how, you know, our tactic for that. So for me, like it reveals even more. So I don't know. Okay. So if it were me, this is what I would try, I think. I would share with them my best and worst performing and just say, here's what I've learned, and like maybe wonder if they can, maybe you can say, you know, once you share, maybe you can ask them, you know, I'd be curious to know what performed really well for you. Or didn't perform, like maybe, like if you offer, maybe you can sort of then suggest, like, would I, you know, would you be able to let me know what were your best and worst per- and maybe open the door that way, you know, and you can show, like, you know, how much you've learned and what you've changed. And since making that change, how much engagements have gone up? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that totally makes sense. Right. I think framing it in that way, that's like far more tangible than what I've been trying. That yeah, might,
it's a little more work for you because you have to gather these things, but you learn from it as well. Anyway, I think, you know, so.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, of course.
That's great advice. Yeah, just keep the questions coming. We're jumping into a Q&A with Jenny now. But also, if you still have feedback on the book itself, don't be shy to share it as well, okay? I just wanted to let everybody know that we're going into the Q&A section of the meeting.
Yeah, and I do see you, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Tom, we want to hear from you, friend.
Hey, Jenny.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm working on a large RFP literally as we speak. So I get some background listening and learning from all of you while also doing the fun 60-page RFP for a university.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just wanted to say hi.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it, Jenny. Always happy to learn from you.
Tom is a regular. So
yes.
Amazing.
I've learned a lot from these groups. I'm still fairly new to the higher education space, but on the vendor side. So always learning from the folks in these groups. So thank you all.
Of course. Good to see you again, my friend. Yeah, if you have any questions about the book, how it came about, what encouraged Jenny to write it, you know, ask away. Or if you have any strategic or tactical questions as well. Thank you, Jenny, for pointing out the difference between strategy and tactic as well in the book, because sometimes that gets mixed up.
Yes, thank you. I mean, it was a huge moment for me too.
Yeah.
And changed how I thought about, you know, both strategy and tactics. But yeah, Tony, that's you make a great point.
I was going to ask you, Jenny, about strategy and tactics, and how have you brought that into any leadership meetings? What I'm finding, we've had a lot of leadership change and we have a new meeting with all our managers, and it just jumps straight into tactics, and it's like what's going out, what press release is going out next, and it's like I'm really struggling to take that step back and get back to strategy.
Recently, you know, it's the higher ed environment under our current administration is challenging. And these meetings where the vice president of comms, who is, you know, the person that directs all of the comms in at the institute. So, you know, and I guess it's a little bit easier because he's a great leader, so he won't suggest tactics, but he'll say, you know, he'll tell me early on in the school year, he'll say, you know, I think we really need to reach a broader audience with our social. We need to focus on stories that, you know, that call to attention, like, you know, the research and what we're doing for the country and how we're, you know, and for national security. I mean, there are certain things. And so how do we, you know, do, you know, and those, and he was saying, these are all the things that I'm thinking about. And so we've just recently made just basically a major shift in our strategy and our thinking, which then in turn, you know, we I pivot is not a good word, but we just really like sort of made a complete sweeping changes to the tactics too. But the thing is, the tactics all point to supporting the strategy, right? Which is like really showcasing the importance of MIT and the work we do, and you know, which is what we do, which is what we always do, but now, like how we optimize it and how we present our, you know, the articles and the videos, like I said, it's been, you know, a total refocusing of all of that. And it's refreshing, I think. It's good, you know. It's too bad that this moment in time is the thing that has made us do this, because we probably could have done this like 5 years ago to just refreshen the content and make it more, make it, you know, more interesting for a broader audience. You know, so and we don't have to write so academic or be so wonky. We can just, you know, and MIT is very, very humble too. So if it's groundbreaking research or like a you know, a mind-blowing discovery, we don't say that. We just say, oh, new researchers have found, you know, like, but it's like this new in way of building walls, you know, building concrete that will change supply chains, and you know, it's like this huge thing, but we've always been very like very lukewarm about it. And so we're a little bit more, you know, we're more excited now about the research and innovation that's coming out. And it's been, I have to say, it's like it's been a culture change, you know. But the cool thing is like, you know, I'm in social, so I'm used to change. Everything changes. Like, you know, a button in Instagram will change on me tomorrow, and I'll be like, where is this button? You know, I can't find it. So I think with social leading the way is like I've started A/B test. I started with A/B testing material, started different things, saw results, changed the strategy, changed the tactics, reported on it because I have the data. And so now, like, because it's so clear, a lot of people in the Office of Communications and onward are they're bought in, you know, they're understanding that it's working. So yeah, I don't know if that was
No, that's really interesting insight.
okay.
We went through something similar about 2 years ago when the crown prince of the country was like, what are you doing? Like, what's your university doing for the country? And so we had to, it wasn't as existential as what is happening in America, but it was still scary for the institution, right? It could have affected funding. It could have, we had to shift to show the regular people the value of scientific research, which we were doing like you, but just it wasn't a core central tenet. So yeah, we've gone through that shift maybe over the last 2 years, so it resonates.
Yeah. And I will say the strategy is not something we change every year. It shouldn't be. It should be slow and steady because, I mean, y'all know like marketing and advertising, they say what, how many times? Like you have to hear it 7 times in order to for it to stick, right? So messaging, the work we do, it takes a long time. It takes, you know, it's like you can't just change it like that. And so like we've changed the strategy, I think, like refocused when we had a new president and the new president had their own priorities, right? Or right now where it's really like, you know, I hate this word, but it's really unprecedented. But yeah, I was thinking about this. We've been living unprecedented times for 7 years now. For 7 years, it has been unprecedented times. Like I miss precedented times. Like I want things to be like, but you know, I think I've come to think like I've come to accept that it's really weird right now. It's been weird for a while. But yeah. Sorry if I'm waxing poetic. I hopefully this is all resonating with the subject.
I
It's
very
great.
much miss boring times. I want to be bored so much.
Aaron, you and me both. I want like noth I want nothing to happen, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. I have a question, but I'll first just say the book has been really helpful for me. This is week six in my new role, and I'm a very linear thinker. Linear process. I like macro to micro. I like a foundation and to have a plan and a strategy first. And that's what I wanted to do with social media. But then it became apparent after a couple of days, I just needed to dive in and start posting. Like, I'm pretty sure I know who the audience is, and here we go. And it was humbling starting out the book because when you got into strategy versus tactic, at first I was like, I know strategy versus tactic. I totally do. And then I read a few pages and I was like, oh, yes, I've also been conflating strategy and tactic. So that was really helpful. And after a couple of weeks of posting, I was just frustrated with myself, like, wow, it takes me so long to get this together. So I appreciated you just saying, like, yes, it takes time to put together a new post. And it was really helpful yesterday for Earth Day. It was on my list for a couple of weeks. Like, we have to have perfect posts for Earth Day. This is what our mission is all about. Nothing popped up. So yesterday morning, I was like, I'm just going to start with our mission and let it go from there. And that was super helpful. But one question that I haven't had a chance to do any research on yet, we have a couple of social channels on platforms that they were started years ago. We have not posted on Facebook or X in years and years. I do not intend to ever go back. But I wonder if you have any advice on what to do with an old channel that's just languishing out there.
Yeah, it's okay, you know, if you're inactive in a channel. And I would also, I think you're right about just letting them sit, because at this moment in time, like if you haven't been active in X and Facebook, I wouldn't jump on it, you know, now. But you don't want to get rid of the handles, because you never know. You might want them in the future. You never know if, you know, your strategy changes, or the platforms really evolve so much that you want to be back on them. I would just put in the bio, like, we're no longer active on this channel. Please follow us on X, Y, and Z. And I would do that in Twitter too. Like, we are no longer active on this channel, but please follow. And then maybe even if you want to put a link to your website, if you can do that. So,
Yeah, I like that. Perfect. Thank you.
of course, of course. And Aaron, like, you're not, that's why I think, you know, that a chapter about strategy and tactic, I share that moment where I was, you know, when I'm like, oh no, you know, that moment when my supervisor was like, she's like, oh, those are great tactics, but have you thought about the strategy? You know, I share that because I too conflated the, you know, I didn't want people to think like, I'm telling you this because you're doing it wrong. Like, I'm telling you this because I had that aha moment myself, and it was a game changer for me. So you know, I would same. I'm with you.
Love this. We got 5 more minutes of Q&A before we go into the closing of the book club meeting. So fire away if you got any questions.
Did
Have, oh, go
Oh,
ahead. Sorry.
sorry. Okay,
No,
thank
you.
you. Okay, thank you. Jenny, I would like to ask you about your experience about communicate complex or technical research, for example, because at the university we work with researchers who often produce amazing content,
Yeah.
but highly specialized content. So it's
Yeah.
very difficult to create easy content for people. So what is your experience with this? And if you have some example that you have in MIT that really work based on data, for example, what kind of content is the best way today to convey, to communicate very complex and technical research, for example?
Yeah, so I think we're finding that like vertical videos but are really resonate with a cross section of our audience, audiences. But there are three questions that have always worked well for me when I'm talking with people that they're so into their work, right? They're so like focused and they have to tell you all of the details. And so one thing I always ask is, so what is the end goal? Like what is the thing that you hope this will do? And then they'll usually say, well, I hope that this will help lessen carbon dioxides into the air when using air conditioning. It's an air conditioner that uses moisture and not the, I hope that, in low, like in countries where we can't get food into their country, I'm hoping that we can deliver vaccines and foods to them. So usually if you say, what is like sort of the end thing? Another one is, are you showing something, John? If you I'll say my two others. My other one is like, can you explain this to me like I'm 8 years old? I'll say that. Or I'll say like, can you so how do I say this to like how do I explain this to my grandmother? So those are my three questions that I ask, and it usually gets it down to simplify it enough that I can understand and explain it. So I hope those are helpful to you.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you very much.
And Janica, were you showing us a bit?
I was showing one of your vertical videos on
Oh
Instagram.
yeah, yes.
Yeah. So it's great. I mean,
Thank you.
I have
Yeah,
like
please follow us on like if you follow Instagram, we're
yeah, just
trying to
look.
simplify our vertical videos so that
Yeah,
they're even
and it's just great. I mean,
more than,
obviously, you have
yeah.
great
We're
resources.
at MIT on Instagram.
Yeah, it's just MIT. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Yannicka.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's a great. I didn't even think of that. Apparently,
Looked on there, I was like, oh, that looks good. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Any final questions? Just be sure to also connect with Jenny on LinkedIn to, I'm sure she'll answer any questions after the
Yes,
meeting.
please. I know that you've all put your LinkedIn, but if you please just if you reach out and ask for me to connect, I will remember all of you. So please do that.
I just
One
wanted
last.
to say, thank you, Jenny, for writing this book. I've been able to talk about social media at different organizations across our campus and then just different organizations in Oklahoma. And when I share resources, your book is always the first one I share. And people are always saying how approachable it is. So I just want to say thank you for writing such a great book.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Very good. Very good, everybody. We get to the point where we do a picture for social media. So if everybody has their book, we'll hold it up like we do all the time so we can promote this book club a little bit further. Love it. Okay, I got a good one. I got a good one there. So that's great. So we are going to quickly vote on the next books, okay? So I have a poll here ready, but before I pull up the poll, I want to go over the different options. So we have Chasing Mission Fit by Bart Kaler. It's available on Amazon. And Chasing Mission Fit offers actionable strategies to help colleges and universities stand out by connecting with Mission Fit students. Mission Fit students are students that actually fit in nicely with the organization's values. And so they thrive there. So it's a good book. Mailed it. A lot of you heard about it from Ashley Budd and Diana Kibbles on email marketing. Mailed it transforms email marketing by teaching how to craft engaging emails that cut through inbox clutter and build trust with readers. Highly recommend this as well. Newly released book by our friend Jamie Hunt, Heart Over Hype. Super book right here. Heart Over Hype is a powerful guide for higher ed marketers who want to move beyond transactional tactics and embrace empathy-driven, audience-centered strategies. Then another book from our friend Mark Witt. He sent me his book, PR Lessons Learned Along the Way. He works at the University of Kentucky. And PR Lessons Along the Way is a conversational wisdom-filled guide for public relations professionals in higher education, offering practical strategies grounded in decades of experience. Haven't read that one yet. I have it on my shelf to read in the future. And then Janneke, set 30, 60, 90 day handbook is something we should explore as well. So it's a little bit more than the other books. Case offers a 20% discount on this book if we decide to go with it. Janneke, any insights you want to share about that book with us?
It's just a really, so Melissa developed this while she was a VP at various institutions in higher ed, and it started out with basically her first checklist, and then over time she developed more and more checklists and just turned them into a book. And it's basically, I mean, just great advice for anyone in higher ed with detailed you know, guidelines for what all you need to do in the first 3 months on the job to really not just related to marketing and communications, but any sort of leadership role in higher ed related to I mean, really anything from, you know, the mission of the school to anything to be successful as a marketing and higher ed leader. Awesome. So it's really good. I know it's kind of expensive because it's not a self-published book. So yes, and unfortunately, so I just talked to the PR person at Case. So the discount, they would have to ship all the books to one person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a little bit difficult to do because we all live somewhere
else. Yeah, true. we'll keep that in mind. But we'll see how. Yes. If it's like everybody wants it, we'll go with it. But let's launch
the book, though.
Let's launch the poll here. Oh, you see that? Mailed it and hard over hype.
Okay.
Flip. We'll do mailed it and hard over hype the next two meetings. I'll flip a coin on which one we're going to pick first. Both are killer. So I think we got something good here. Let me actually take a screenshot so I don't forget. But yeah, so cool, everybody. So next meeting, I know both authors, so we'll probably get them back in here. Thinking in about 4 weeks, May 21st. Let me just confirm with the authors and see if they're available. If they're not available at that date, then we'll move it up a week and see if they're going to be able to join then. But it's always good to have the author here. Any remaining questions, let me know. Jenny, we are so incredibly grateful that you took the time to be a part of book club. Thank you very much.
No, this was great. Thank you for asking me. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, everybody. I'll see you all on LinkedIn. I'm going to push out a post with the picture, and I appreciate you all being here, and I'll see you on online.
Yeah. Thanks Looking for bringing forward us together, to connecting.
You bet.
Looking forward to connecting. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning into the show and sticking with me to the end. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe to the Education Marketing Leader and share it with your friends and your network. This episode was brought to you by Scribasound Podcast Production. It's one of my ventures. If you ever thought about starting your own podcast, be sure to reach out to me. I would love to help. You follow the show and tune in every other Thursday as I interview higher ed marketing leaders for your benefit. I see you next time. Have a good day, friends. Take care.